go ahead. Go ahead.
Please be advised that a meeting of the Administrative and Operations Committee, meeting of the Annuity and Pension Board of the Employees Retirement System has been scheduled for Wednesday, June 11th, 2025, at 0900. Can I get a roll call, Jim?
Yes, Mr. Christensen is excused today. Mr. DeClean?
Here.
Mr. Helling?
Here.
Quorum?
All right, we have a four-item agenda today, and we'll get right to it. Item agenda number one, approval of the Clifton Larson Allen contract. Jerry?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
I have Daniel Gopalin with us here today in the office. He's our chief financial officer, as you know. And Daniel is proposing to retain Clifton Allen Larson as independent accountants. And Daniel, why don't you go ahead and speak to the trustees about this.
Yeah, this is Dan Gopalin, ERS Chief Financial Officer. This contract came about as a result of Act 12. Act 12, as you know, requires that ERS's financial statements be audited by the Wisconsin Legislative Audit Bureau annually. However, ERS actually issues two audited financial reports every year, our annual comprehensive financial report, or ACFR, which LAB is required to audit, and our schedule of employer allocations by pension amounts by employer, also known as employer schedules. Act 12 is silent on who should audit the employer schedules. ERS staff felt it was important that the board retain its ability to choose the auditor for the employer schedules. What are the employer schedules exactly? They are used by our employers, so it's used by the city of Milwaukee and the city agencies that issue their own financial statements. The employers take ERS's pension expenses, the contributions that they've made, and the pension liabilities, and they are required to report their share of the pension liabilities and expense on their financial statements. In order for like the city of Milwaukee to rely on these amounts, the schedules need to get audited. So that way that, you know, the city's auditors can rely on those numbers, essentially. As for when we did the RFQ, I only expected a few CPA firms to respond, just because it's such a unique situation with Act 12 naming one of our auditors already and being silent about the other one. So I figured only a few firms would respond. You know, they'd be firms that are very familiar with how ERS operates and could be willing to take that, you know, the risk of auditing us. That's pretty much kind of a background on the contract and why we need it. Are there any questions?
So CLA was the only one that responded, right?
Yes. Yes. I did. We did hear back from Baker Tilly. They declined just because it was such a unique situation. So they did not respond to the RFQ.
This is Jerry. I just want to add a little more detail for the benefit of the trustees. As lay people, nobody would expect any you fellows to be familiar with the detailed accounting standards. There are two accounting standards involved here. One is Government Accounting Standards, GASB 67, and that's our main audited financials. And then these employer schedules are covered by a companion standard called GASB 68. And the way this works is that the statements that our financial statements under 67 are in aggregate, all of the liabilities, expenses, contributions for the whole system as a whole. And then each employer, as Daniel mentions, has to, you know, break that out for their piece of the pie, if I can call it that. And there's a one-year lag, actually. When we supply them with our employer schedules, they won't apply it until next year. Most of them, MPS is on a fiscal year, but the other ones will apply them when they issue their financials in 2026. So it's a separate exercise, really, all the way around. Although there are some values in common, some, you know, entries in common. But it is a separate accounting standard.
Thank you. Justin, do you have any questions?
I do not have any questions right now, no.
Sounds good. I don't have any as well.
Okay, well, the motion would be in order then. And what you'd be motioning would be to recommend to the full board adoption of the approval of the contract. Alex, if you have any comments on the contract language itself?
Good morning, everyone. This is Alexander Founders, City Attorney's Office. I can say that I worked with ERS, specifically Mary Turk, to review this contract. CLA did request several edits to our contract, which were either accepted or denied based on my judgment. And other items I turned to ERS to weigh in on. I think one thing that's rather unusual that was is that this auditor proposed a two-year statute of limit, reduction of the statute of limitations for which claims could be brought against the contractor. That's on page 14 of the contract. The ERS proposed to set it to 24 months, which was higher than some of the limits that the contractor was proposing, because ERS informed me that in its other contracts with other auditors that this is what has been agreed to in the past. So it is consistent with other contracts. Otherwise, I don't have any strong concerns about the contract. I think that everything in here is acceptable and can be approved.
Sounds good. Thanks, Alex. I'll go ahead and put the motion forward to approve the Clifton Larson Allen contract. Do I have a second?
Justin, second.
Thank you, Justin. So that will go to the next full board meeting for the approval of the full board. On to item number two, approval of the DAS consulting contract.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Siddiqui is leaving the room, by the way. A little background on this proposal. DS Consulting is otherwise known as Mr. Terry Siddiqui. This is his firm, and originally he had a partner, John Dugan. And Terry has been with our agency since about 2003. And he is the, I guess I would call him the living embodiment of our institutional knowledge. He came originally as a consultant from Accenture, which was a unit in those days of Arthur Andersen, or maybe it was just, well, it was a sort of a spin-off from Arthur Andersen, which was at that time a major accounting firm. And he was originally brought in to help with the development and installation of Merits, which was accomplished by 2006, and very successfully, and we're very proud of Merits. It's, the life of this Merits has been almost 20 years now, and it's still state-of-the-art, believe it or not. Not much you can say in IT that's state-of-the-art after 20 years, right, Jeff?
True.
So Terry's a very important aspect of our administration here. And we're proposing, there's a situation I want to disclose fully. Terry's contract actually runs through next year. It's not really expiring this year. And I consider this proposal to be part and parcel of the management succession transition for the, you know, my retirement. I'm retiring at the end of the year, Lord willing, and the board willing. Not only that, but some of my colleagues are also planning to retire. Nellie Johnson, one of our deputy directors, is retiring upon her anniversary in February of 2026. Jeff Schober, who's joined us this morning in the boardroom, has also announced his plan to retire at the end of 2026. We have two trustee seats up for election this year. We don't know what the outcome of that's going to be. Mr. Bell's seat and Sergeant Bell's seat. And also...
Klusman.
Yeah, Mr. Klusman's seat, that's right. I always think of Tom as a permanent member of our board. It's hard for me to remember that he's actually has to run for office once in a while. He's been around so long. So those two seats are up for reelection. Mr. Conrad has told me that he's planning to retire at about the same time that I do. So we have, and of course, there are a lot of people at City Hall who are planning to retire because of, you know, their pay was frozen for many years. They got a pay raise, and they're simply waiting for their, you know, their final average salary to be reach the three-year mark. So there's going to be a significant number of people who are familiar with the operation of this plan be, you know, leaving in retirement. So this is my effort as part of the transition to secure this resource that we have, which I think is essential to running this agency. This agency doesn't run without Terry. You probably know him as a guy that works the computer in the room, but he is really in charge of quality assurance, which includes not only IT, but every department we have. He works with each area of the business to assure that the records are kept and that the IT works. By training, he's an industrial engineer, but he has mastered some disciplines such as tax reporting. He's essential to that aspect of our payroll as well. So he's our chief cook and bottle washer, really. He's involved with every facet of this. So we really want to secure this resource for the future, and that's why I'm asking to extend this contract so that we don't have any problem. His skills are in high demand in the marketplace. If he could leave anytime he wants to, pretty much, and write his own ticket. So we really want to get him secured in here. Let's see, is there anything else I need to mention about this? No, oh yeah, there's one other thing. This is not a competitive bidding process. Well, Terry has provided and he will send this to the full board, a market analysis of the cost of his services compared to other firms, very in-depth. He's not here right now, obviously, but we do have it to show if you wanted to see it. But it will go to the to the full board, and he is, trust me, he's a bargain compared to the hourly rate for the other folks, the other professional people involved in this and in the disciplines that he covers. So if you have any questions, this would be a good time to ask him, or any comments or anything about this, but we need him. This agency needs him.
Yes, very well said, Jerry. I agree. Reading through the contract, I didn't realize, you know, how in-depth he is with all the other IT stuff and how involved he is with all that stuff. Jeff, do you have any comments or?
So I would echo what Jeff Schober, Chief Technology Officer, I would echo what Jerry has said, and I would embellish it by saying, as Jerry mentioned, he was here when they purchased the product that eventually became Merits. He was integral in actually building it, doing the customization that was required for it, and as such, he understands that product inside and out. So any operational question that comes up that needs to be addressed in that product, he knows about and is able to facilitate getting it fixed in a timely and expedient fashion. And his other value is because he knows the operations so well, up to and including the Chapter 36 pieces, there is no one that has more institutional knowledge. If he were hit by a bus, we would have some significant problems. He understands it all. And he knows it off the top of his head. That's the other thing. His discipline of what he's done in his career allows him to be able to answer these things off the cuff and get the solution quickly, and we have averted many, many crises because of his ability to do that.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff. Well, that brings up an interesting point. Is there somebody, like a successor to Terry, or somebody that maybe we could have shadow him to start learning a lot of this stuff?
Well, we have documentation, but there's nobody that's going to, that was here that developed Merits. As Jeff said, we bought a shell of a product and it's been customized. It is, we have to maintain this and keep it updated. It's unique, and our system is unique. I mean, we had, you guys don't know this, but we had a form of an operational audit done when I first started back in 2009, an organizational review by an outside firm. They told us that this is the most complex public pension plan in the world, period. There's not a benefit formula. There's 40,000 iterations of benefit formulas, 40,000 possible ways to compute the benefit. So I wish I could clone him, but until that technology is developed fully, I don't think we know how to do that.
So I would admonish what Jerry just said is exactly that. The documentation exists. Where Terry brings the value is, actually, he wrote most of the documentation as well. So he knows how to get to the crux of the problem without having to wade through the documentation. We can solve the problem, it's just it would take us some time to research it. His value is, he doesn't have to research it.
Okay, that makes much sense. Okay. Any other questions or comments? All right, not hearing any. I think this is a slam dunk of an approval, so I'll put forth the motion to approve the DS Consulting contract. Ben, second. Are you Justin? Second. Justin, you're muted.
Sorry, yeah, I second.
Okay, thank you. All right, so that'll go to the full board for approval at the next meeting, next full board meeting. And item number three, IT projects portfolio. Take it away, Jeff.
Jeff is just bringing in Terry.
What's his phone number? What's his phone
number? We'll get the report on the screen.
3180.
Sir, welcome back. Welcome back, Terry.
3180.
Well, he's not back
yet. He's not standing up there.
Oh, okay.
Hang on, what's your name?
Where he put it on there.
There he is.
Welcome back, Terry. We're on to agenda number three, the IT project portfolio.
All right, thank you, Mr. Chair. So this is the standard bullet points that we bring up every month. The majority of the work we're doing, especially this time of year, is kind of mundane. It's just the regular checks that we do on an annual basis to make sure the environment is good. I would call out and comment on one, the network infrastructure for firmware. No, I'm thinking about the network redesign. I'm sorry, it's about the fifth one down. We've been working diligently with our contractor, our vendor, CDWG, and the good news is through our preliminary discussions with them, we're going to be able to probably reuse some of the hardware we already have in the rack, which means we don't have to procure new. So we'll be able to take that hardware, reconfigure it, and repurpose it. So it's going to save us a few dollars. We'll have a better idea of that in the next month or so as we get a harder design in place. But that was good news. I was concerned we were going to have to basically forklift the entire network environment, but it doesn't look like we're going to have to do quite that far. So that was good news there. Other than that, I think everything's already been up here, and as you see, we've got a few completed as well. So any questions on this slide? All right, this is kind of the same information, a little different flavor with the red, green, yellow monikers on it. So everything is on target where we expect it to be, and it's also a list of the things that we have accomplished for the running 12-month scale. So any questions on this deck?
It's all green, right, Chuck?
Yes, sir. You work hard to make it all green.
Green is good. Any questions, Justin? All right, anybody else? All right, not hearing any. I just had a question for Jeff. Well, I didn't know you're going to be retiring coming up here too at the end of next year. Do you have a succession plan or?
Jerry and I talked about it a little bit. I would really like to be involved in hiring my successor. I think it would be important that I have some input to that process. So whatever that means in timeline for next year, next calendar year, when we start getting down to brass tacks there, I'd like to be involved in that process.
Tim, I think I can answer this question a little better. You may recall that we have a draft succession plan that was intended to be incorporated as part of the board rules. It's not just a succession plan for the executive director, but it encompasses the entire management structure. And it's been presented to the full board, I think, at least three occasions, beginning of a year ago. It's never been formally adopted. It doesn't have to be. And it could be formally adopted for the executive director and put in the board rules. But, you know, in the absence of any formal adoption, we're incorporating it as part of our office protocol. So it does provide for a succession plan for all my direct reports as well. And so that's the playbook that we're going to operate on. And of course, we're going to do a search you know, for candidates to replace Jeff. And we've got, he's given us a lot of notice. So we've got, you know, basically 18 months notice, which is, I believe, applaud Jeff for giving so much notice. Thank you, Jeff. So we will engage in a post the position throughout the city, and this is a job that probably needs to be, you know, posted beyond the city of Milwaukee, and so we will be working with our friends at DER to you know post this in the industry publications, both for pensions and IT, to get a broader audience throughout the country.
Okay, that sounds good. And yeah, I agree, Jeff, you should definitely be part of the process. If that does it for item agenda number 3, unless we have any other comments or questions. Okay, not hearing any, we're down to agenda item number 4, which is organizational and personnel update.
Melody, are you on the line?
Hi, Jerry. Yes, I am on the line. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Would you like to talk about this for a minute?
Well, there's nothing to talk about, which is good news. We have no vacancies. I mean, later on in the year, I will be recruiting for, well, we will be recruiting for my position since I will be retiring in February of next year. So we will be looking for someone to fill my position before I leave. And that's it.
Thank you, Melody. I have one comment I can make. Alex, are you still on the line? Or is he the part of the meeting?
He left.
Okay. So, in my executive director's report for this month, I've included an update about the status of the hiring the management recruiting firm. You fellows are both, I believe, Justin, were you present for the discussions in open session with the presentations by the semifinalists for management recruiter? I don't recall who exactly was at that meeting. You were, okay.
Yes.
Good. So you know the status of that, and there's a finalist candidate, and Alex is contacting their attorneys. I'm hopeful we have a contract in time for the board to, you know, consider it at the meeting coming up this month yet. And that means they can hit the ground running in July if we get the contract in place, and you know, begin the process of talking to the trustees to provide their advice, and also the other key stakeholders, so that they can begin the search. So it's moving along. The light is green on that one as well. So that's our organizational personnel update.
So good to hear. I just want to throw in there and just thank Jerry and staff for all the hard work and Seems like every question I have and every board member, there's always an answer and there's always a next step, a next progression. We've set up our governance very well, so although we are going to have a lot of turnover coming up, I think we should be in good hands.
Thank you, Tim, for your kind words.
You're welcome, Jerry. And with no other questions or comments, I will motion to adjourn the meeting. Do I have a second?
I will second that, Justin.
Thank you, Justin, and enjoy the beautiful warm weather finally.
Yes. Thanks, guys.
All right, take care.